This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Heroes for Healthy Pets. We're passionate about your pet's health.
Good day from California. Welcome to the Dr. Courtney Podcast. We've got a great one for you today. And as you can probably guess, my name is Dr. Courtney. I'm a veterinarian. I co-hosted Pet Talk on Nat Geo Wild. I want to send a big thank you to all of you who are regular listeners, or maybe some of you are just tuning in for the very first time. You could be driving. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're spending time with your doggy or your kitty cat. But wherever you are, I want to give you a big, hearty welcome. And this is a podcast where we get to laugh, love, and just learn a lot about pets. And if you've never really considered the term a socialite or what it means to be the it doggy in the world of society, this is a podcast you want to listen to. The key here is a socialite. What exactly is that? And wouldn't we all like to be one? I'm kidding, of course. But no, I think it's socialite's an interesting word because there's no true definition of what one is. If you want to call it a person or an activity, then it seems like the definition is constantly changing. It's always evolving. I mean, I think we remember the days of the famed socialite Paris Hilton, who went almost everywhere with her Chihuahua Tinkerbell. Well, you might say that she was actually the quintessential socialite. She was the essence of what a socialite is, not Tinkerbell, actually Paris Hilton. But the key here is that it's usually an individual, usually coming out of a wealthy or a privileged background, who has a high position in society and essentially is just famous for being famous. And they like to spend times at these little fashionable social gatherings. And listen, this concept dates all the way back to the 18th and 19th centuries. So socialite today is really nothing new. It's still attached to sort of wealth and privilege. But fortunately, the definition of what a socialite is starting to change in the age of social media. With more people able to connect with each other and share different experiences, the new socialites are now members of a different species. They're dogs, there's cats, even horses with tens of thousands of followers on social media. And essentially, to put it short, there's a new breed of socialite. You know, now you see what I did there, but seriously, this new breed of socialite is slowly taking over the Twitter sphere and the Instagram, Instaglobe, I like to call it, with some Insta-famous pets earning as much as $1 million annually. And some agents have 100 plus animal clients and they earn over $1 million annually. Now, why do these pet and pet parent teams do so well? It's mainly because pet content performs better than human content on social media. For many on the social media landscape, if they see a human, they're less likely to gush over them and tag their friends. But if it's a pet, all the emotions come out. And that's why today I'm excited, because we have an example of a pet that takes the socialite definition to another level. This dog and her dog parent that we're about to talk to don't just socialize for themselves. They socialize to enrich the lives of other people. This dog may provide affection, comfort, love to people in hospitals, retirement homes, nursing homes, disaster areas, or even people with anxiety disorders and autism. And to put an even greater punctuation on her amazing socialite activities, this dog was recently crowned America's most popular dog at the 15th annual New York Pet Fashion Show. And her pet parent is also super special as well, serving as a licensed realtor in the competitive real estate landscape of Brooklyn, New York. So we're so pumped to have them. But before we get to our exciting socialite and her human, I want to be sure to let everyone out there know how they can get in contact with me. If you have any questions, thoughts, or topic discussions, you could reach me at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter and Instagram. Questions with positivity and love will get answered with priority, but not exclusivity. So basically, we'll answer pretty much anything. So right now, let's pause for a few brief moments from a word from a real true hero on behalf of pets everywhere. And then we'll reconnect on the flip side so that we can meet America's most popular dog and her lovely human. Give us one second.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Hi, I'm Becky Maurice, the owner of Albright Canines, a training, daycare, and grooming facility that focuses on strengthening the human-animal bond through education. Our daycare provides owners with a guilt-free option. Instead of leaving their dog home alone all day, they can spend the day playing fetch, catching bubbles, and snuggling with friends. Not only do dogs receive necessary safe socialization in our care, they are also learning to listen to basic commands. We are very proud to be heroes for healthy pets. To learn how you can have a happy, well-socialized dog to cuddle with after a long day of work, check out www.albrightcanines.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back, and I'm super excited to speak with our two guests today. Well, only one guest I'll actually be speaking with, but I'm inspired today about a dog and her dog mom who truly make a difference in people's lives by socializing, meeting people, going to events, and acting as what I like to call an instant mood enhancement for everyone around them. This dog has her own blog and has a certificate as a canine good citizen, and she's certified pet therapy dog. She's truly amazing dog and has a wonderful pet parent. Podcast listeners, please join me in welcoming Eileen Zines to the show. Welcome, Ms. Zines. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you for that lovely introduction. I really appreciate it, and ZZ appreciates it as well. She's sitting here with me.
Yes, ZZ is there with you. I'm naturally very differential, so I want to call you Ms. Zines. Is it okay if I call you Ms. Eileen?
You could just call me Eileen.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fine. Let's talk to Eileen and ZZ. It's so awesome to have both of you on the show. I got to be honest, you know, when I get a chance to talk to a lot of our exciting guests, a lot of times we don't have the dog who's a greater celebrity than their dog mom. So this is wonderful. This is the first time ever.
Oh, great. Right. Well, yes. ZZ is sitting here next to me, and every time her name is mentioned, she picks her head up. So
yeah, she's super smart. She understands. Before we take a deep dive into this convo, because I'm really focused on it, could you do me a favor and do a portion of the show we call Set the Scene? And this is setting the scene for the listeners so that they understand where you are based and your kind of upbringing and your initial contact with pets and how you kind of developed a love for your dog and just pets everywhere. I mean, where were you born and raised?
I'm a Brooklyn girl.
Okay, fantastic.
I lived in Brooklyn most of my life. Well, you know, various places, but I would say like the last about 12 years in Brooklyn. And 2 years ago, I moved to Manhattan in the Hell's Kitchen area.
Manhattan. Interesting. Yeah. Now, did you grow up with pets your whole life?
No, I never had, believe it or not, other than some fish, some guppies as a child. I didn't come from a family that really, you know, wanted pets. You know, both parents were very hardworking. Who was going to take care of it? Blah, blah, blah. So, no, I never had a pet.
And I tell you what, it's great because that I think your parents probably realized having a pet is a true commitment. It's not something you take casually. So maybe that's potentially a great thing.
Yeah, and I always wanted it. And I say that I got ZZ kind of like in a midlife crisis.
Okay. So, wow. That's interesting. You can explain or you don't have to, but what prompted you to say, you know what? I'm having a midlife crisis. I think ZZ is a perfect fix.
You know, Dr. Courtney, I just woke up one day and I said, you know, things go right, things go wrong in your life. I said, I really think I need a little plus one. And I just decided to get ZZ. Well, I didn't know that it was going to be ZZ at the time, but I decided to get a pet, and I chose her, or shall I say she chose me. And it's been, you know, very, very happily, it's going along since then. We're yes. Really a great team.
You two found each other for sure. When you're going through a crisis, as you put it, there are a variety of things that people will search for or cling to or sort of use to help them, you know, and give them comfort. In general, generally speaking, what was going through your mind when you thought about adding or welcoming a dog into your home? Why a dog? It turned out to be ZZ, but what were you thinking once you decided to make that decision?
Well, I wanted a pet that I love to walk. I love to walk and explore. And I really wanted a pet to share that love with me. I wanted a hardy pet, somebody that was hypoallergenic. I didn't have to worry. And I wanted a pet that liked to wear, you know, a little clothes. I wasn't really thinking clothes, but I love fashion. I mean, I'm not in the fashion business, but I really, really adore fashion. And so I thought maybe I could find a pet that would share these two activities, mostly the walking, not the dressing so much.
So you find a pet that had your equal interest in fashion. That could be a hard one. I think it's interesting that you bring that up simply because you say, hey, I love to walk. I love to explore. I'm looking for a dog who is hardy. And when I think of a hardy dog, the first breed that pops into my head is not actually a Maltipoo. So when you think of, so how did ZZ, and I think a lot of podcast listeners are out there thinking, they're looking up, you know, ZZ, they see her cute face all of her cute styles, and they say, okay, talk to us, why a Maltipoo?
Well, if you really want to know the truth,
Jessica Simpson, the truth on this podcast.
Jessica Simpson had a Maltipoo at the time.
Okay, okay.
And I read a lot about it. And a friend of mine who influenced me in getting a pet kept telling me, you know, you're really going to like a Maltipoo. It was kind of like a hardy breed. It had the best of the poodle and the Maltese. So I decided that I would get a Maltipoo. But you know, I really had never had a pet before. So I really knew nothing. I mean, I had friends with dogs, but I personally never really had the dog experience. When I called up my friends, when I drove ZZ home, I called my friends. I go, I have a dog. They nearly fainted. They go, a dog? Everybody was in shock. Nobody could believe that I got one. And they're still not. They still can't believe it.
They're still in shock up to this day. And what is it about you that made your friends act sort of incredulous that you now have welcomed a dog into your life? Why were they so surprised?
I really never discussed it with them.
Okay.
They were shocked. I mean, I just never talked about it. I would admire other pets. I would look at dogs. I would look at them on television, et cetera. But I never really, I would pet them occasionally. But, and it's a big responsibility. And they know I have a very demanding job. And they couldn't believe, and I'm single. So they couldn't imagine, what am I going to do with this animal? I mean, where is that maternal instinct?
Well, you are certainly, it just naturally came out. I mean, there are some people who, and you and I are just assuming that some people listening automatically know what a Maltipoo is. And I'm so glad that you defined it. So we have a beautiful blend of a Maltese and a poodle. And some people, after listening to you, are going to say, wow, I'm really inspired. I think I want a Maltipoo as well. I know Maltipoos as being sweet, gentle doggies. How would you describe them? And if you were talking to somebody who's considering having a Maltipoo, how would you describe their personality?
Very loving.
Loving.
Very attentive. However, I think the poodle part is very independent and very, very smart.
Loving, so, independent, and smart.
Yeah, there is a very strong personality, unless it's just ZZ.
Right. And I think that's an important point, too. You know, when we talk about generalizations about Maltipoos, of course, you and I fully recognize that every dog has an individual personality traits and idiosyncrasies. You know what I mean? But just in general, Maltipoos, because they're smaller, I found a lot of Maltipoos to be in excellent body condition. They are very lean doggies. And I don't look at them as being hardy enough to deal with some of these New York temperatures. Does ZZ like wearing coats and jackets?
Yes, she loves it. Well, she doesn't have a choice. We go outside and we have to take a walk and it's freezing. She's small. She's like six. She's under 7 pounds.
She's so, under 7 pounds. Wow.
Yeah. Well, she's between like 6'6", and it depends on when she gets weighed,
right,
on how her diet is. But
right,
that being
exactly
said,
she had a big meal. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So that being said, she needs a little extra coverage in New York. So she kind of, I don't want to take her out. I don't want her to be cold. So yeah, she wears the coats and she goes out and she loves to walk. She's very, very big on that. So she'll walk, this is probably not a good idea, but if I walk 5 miles in a day, she wants to walk 5 miles in a day.
And she's totally fine with it? She keeps up with you, no problem?
I think I have to keep up with her.
Oh, my goodness. She sounds like she's in amazing shape.
She really is. She really is. And she's a little lean. I'd like her to gain some weight. My best friend has a Maltipoo who's 15 pounds. And she's like a plus size, but she must be a standard poodle. And she says, no, I mean, I don't know, but that's big, I think. So Zizi is like a teeny tiny little dog, but she's, so as I said, she's extremely hardy.
And the fact that what I love the most is that you two are spending time together doing something that is healthy for both of you. And honestly, and this is a very sensitive subject to bring up, but we deal with and see a lot of issues with canine obesity. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of studies that have shown a correlation between pet parents and dogs, and both members of that team and that duo have challenges in weight and weight problems. And so the fact that you two are exercising outside, walking, exploring, what's so beautiful about that is it keeps both of you healthy.
I think so. However, doctor, after we do the walk, we have to have lunch. And that's when we lose it.
Yes. Yes, that's what I like to do. I like to go for a run to get an ice cream cone, and then I walk back home. That's perfect. That's the key. You got to exercise to get it. Now, you spoke about coats, and we know that Zizi received an award at the fashion show, the New York 15th Annual New York Fashion Show. What did Zizi wear at this fashion show?
She wore a fabulous red leather embellished
Gucci-inspired
jacket over a tutu dress. I could send you a picture.
I'm so sorry. I just have to be clear for all of our podcast listeners out there. Zizi actually wore a Gucci-inspired coat over a tutu.
That's correct. Yes, and a hat, a pink cowboy hat that I embellished for her.
Oh, wow. Okay, and she had a cowboy hat on too. Okay.
Of course, because the theme was country couture, and we have to dress in theme. And she was a little bit country. I was a little bit rock and roll. In addition, I took her stroller and I embellished her stroller so it matched her jacket. And
For a second. Zizi has a stroller.
Yes. A lot of dogs that I know have strollers. It's nothing new to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So we've got a cowboy hat. We have a leather jacket and we have a tutu, all designed by you. And then what were you wearing?
Designed by me. She has a designer.
My apologies.
Of course. She has a designer that made the jacket. She has a different designer that had the dress made, I don't know, about 2 years ago. So we wore something old, but the jacket was fairly new. The hat I designed myself, the stroller I designed myself. I wore all black. I was the rock and roll part of the duo. She was the country couture.
She was country couture and you were a rock and roll.
So it's like the song, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, Donnie and Marie.
Yes, yes. Now, is that what Zizi came out to with that, to that song?
No. Nothing like that. But that was my idea because I was not wearing cowboy clothes. So I didn't want to really go through a whole thing with cowboy clothes. So I figured that was the best thing to do. So I dressed in my normal black and she dressed in her theme. So it was perfect. And I got away with it.
Now, okay, you certainly did. I mean, you more than got away with it. I mean, you just killed the show. I heard she was an absolute star. I guess the question is she experienced and practiced at this? Has she competed in other pet fashion shows before?
Well, she competes in pageants. We travel to Florida. We travel to various places. We do fashion pageants in New York. This award that she was given was more of a popularity contest on social media. However, she did walk in the designer runway show representing designer Delcy Benitez of Paraguay. So we walked on the runway show, which was
This is incredible.
At the event.
Wow.
Aida Nieves puts together several various shows, and this was one of them that she walked in. So she was in the, what was it called, international show. Different countries were represented. So she was in that, which was just fun. We were both in that on the runway. And the award that she won was a social media contest that was sponsored by dogflu.com, and it was very exciting.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. I saw a few pictures, and it's just absolutely incredible to see how meticulously arranged and designed her outfit was. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, what's incredible is that, yes, it's fun. Yes, people have a good time at it. But what it does is it really reminds us of how we can forget about some of the more serious things in life and have a little bit of fun, laugh, enjoy ourselves. And ZZ adds that level of mirth and happiness to a lot of people's lives. What do you think has been, if you were to describe to somebody the type of happiness that ZZ has added to your life, what would you tell them? Like, how would you describe it to them?
I tell most people that I think that I need the attention, not ZZ.
Okay.
One of my, I don't know, it could be a tragic flaw, is that I kind of make fun of myself in this whole process. But I think that
you don't take yourself too seriously.
That's correct. Perfect. And I really don't. And I don't care what other people think. I'm doing what makes me happy. I love dressing her up. I love fashion. I love putting her on the runway. And I'm not letting her do anything that she does not want to do, because she does have limitations. So I love it when she talks to people and she engages people. And when I say in conversations, because she does this kind of doggy talking thing where she stops people and she growls. I don't know what that would be called.
Oh, she growls at people in a fun way or an aggressive way?
No, in a fun way. It's like she's talking to you. I don't know what you call that. But she'll stop you and she wants to get attention and she'll start looking in your face and talking to you, and people look at me. So I guess I need the attention, and she's kind of the vehicle to bring us together.
I think it's
I've met a lot of people with her. I meet a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I'm so interested, and I'm sure you've met so many incredible people along the way. You gave a great and beautiful description of how she adds, just to put it mildly, adds, enriches, and brightens your life. Have you seen or do you remember of any pretty inspiring stories of how she's brightened other people's days?
Absolutely. In terms of when we were going on a regular basis as a certified pet therapy dog, we would go to a hospital, and many of the patients really were not conscious or very, very semi-conscious, but the families would just love her and want to kiss her and hold her, and she gave great, great solace to them. I could tell you that personally in my own life, I have a disabled brother, and I bring her to see him, and she doesn't give up on him. She's there. She kisses him. She sits with him. He puts a very big smile on his face. So that kind of situation, and just people just love her. People like her more than they like me. That's all I'm going to say.
I will say that, and that certainly harkens back to and is very well aligned with what they're seeing and what studies have been shown on social media in terms of people's response to dogs in general. I see on a daily basis where people will respond to dogs in ways on the street that they would never respond to a human being. And a lot of these people have such a positive and exaggerated, you know, a response to dogs. And you would imagine, you'd say to yourself, man, I wonder if they've ever met a dog before. And they have. They see dogs every day, but it's just that sight of a dog, that change in their day, that just energizes their life. Do you find that people respond to ZZ the same way when she's walking on the street?
Absolutely. There are sometimes I can't get down a street where everybody stops her. Adults stop her, children stop her, to the point that they just want to hold her or kiss her or pick her up, where I have to intervene and tell them, no, please leave her alone. You know,
wow.
She can't.
So she basically has her own paparazzi.
Well, she does, because she has a very unique look. You know, she does have highlights. Her ears are a little pink. Her tail is a little pink. So she, you know, people are just like amazed, and she's usually dressed, nothing crazy on during the week. But she's usually dressed on the street, you know, a jacket, a little tutu, something. So everybody stops me. And I live in an area with a lot of tourists. So, of course, they're going to be very interested. And sometimes it's not positive. Sometimes it is negative. But I just laugh it off. I don't really care.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine that there would be any negative responses.
Well, sometimes there are people that don't like her look, or they can't believe I dress her. They can't believe her ears are a little pink. I mean, everybody has their own opinion, and that's fine. I find that she just loves to be around people, and that's her favorite thing. I could just take her out now, even in the rain. It's pouring in New York right now. Even in the rain, she'll want to go out and just engage somebody. And you know what's so crazy? She makes everybody, friends who haven't seen her for a long time, she makes everybody think that she remembers them.
Really?
She
and I have both of that in common, because I rarely remember people's names, but a face I don't forget. So she makes them feel like she remembers them.
That's correct. Oh. That's correct. And people say that to me all the time. I haven't seen her in months, but she remembered me. I used to say, no, But now I say, yes, she does remember you, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but she makes everybody feel that way.
And not to get serious, but you did mention tourists, and you did mention that she's super social and meets people and potentially dogs along the way and things like that. I guess one question I had for you, again, this is a little bit serious in nature, but what's your opinion about keeping her free from infectious disease and protecting her against possible viruses out there? I mean, obviously that's what's in breaking news and current events that's happening right now, is the proliferation and dissemination of dog flu throughout the country. And I just wanted your opinion about what you feel the importance of vaccines are in helping to protect ZZ.
Well, number one, ZZ is always going in for her wellness tests or her wellness appointments.
That's beautiful.
On a regular basis. We recently traveled to Florida where there, probably maybe it's a year ago already, or 6 months, where there was a very big canine flu scare at the time, prior to what's going on now. I immediately had her brought in to give her the shot, and then the booster shot. I don't want to take any chances with her. She's definitely got to have whatever vaccines are the basics, plus whatever can protect her from any specialized things like the dog flu. I am very, very big on that. And what makes me nervous is, how do I know the other dogs aren't protected? How do I know that the dog parent is not just dressing the dog up and not taking the dog for wellness checks? So I have to be proactive on my end. Just because a dog looks good and is all dolled up doesn't mean that they're having the proper medical work done on them. So I'm a little scared about that. So I take her in for everything. She just had dental work done. So,
that,
I mean,
that is so wonderful. I mean, and then you brought it full circle talking about dental disease, which is one of the most underrecognized conditions we see in dogs. And I couldn't emphasize how important what you just said is, just talking amongst pet parents and them wanting to keep their dog safe. And what they realize is that vaccination is not just about your dog. It's about protecting other dogs. And then secondarily, a point you brought up and so colorfully articulated is that you don't know what the health status is of other dogs that you encounter. And so it's incumbent upon pet parents everywhere and you as a pet parent to make sure that ZZ is protected against the unknown. And that, I think that's really, really important to highlight.
I agree. And I travel with her and I go to events, and a lot of people have very small dogs and they're really afraid to give them certain vaccinations. And, you know, I can't agree with that. I feel that a dog should be vaccinated. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not that knowledgeable, but I do speak to a lot of people that don't give their dogs all the shots for a variety of reasons. But I mean, when it's justified, of course it's justified, but I just have to keep her protected. And there are a lot of dogs we meet on the streets, and we don't go to the dog park much, but I don't know what those dogs in the dog park are, you know, are doing. I mean, it's just, I know I sound like a snob, but I'm really not.
Yeah, you don't know where those dogs are, and you're not going to have her socialize with them. Well, listen, you bring up really salient points, and I'm so glad you talked about keeping her protected. I do want to talk about what it means to be a canine good citizen and a certified pet therapy dog. You did talk a little bit about it. We did touch on it just a tad as far as going to hospitals and your brother. But yes. I just want to take a brief break for a second. And then on the flip side, we'll get a chance to talk more about ZZ. Will you stay tuned and stay joining us?
Sure.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Give us 1 second.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back. Right after we kibble a little with our sponsors.
It's not just a sneeze. It could be the pathway to disease. Your dog is at risk for contracting dog flu. That's why it's important to vaccinate your dog for dog flu. Get your dog vaccinated today. Visit dogflu.com for more information.
We wear fur and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside. Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're back. We're talking with Ms. Zines and her amazing dog, ZZ, who was recently crowned America's Most Popular Dog and is a canine good citizen and a certified pet therapy dog. So ZZ's doing a lot and is a well-known socialite. So we got a chance to talk all about what it means to Be Social and how ZZ goes around and just enriches people's lives and brightens their day and puts a smile on their faces, which is so important in today's day and age with all the stressors that we have and how overcommitted and over encumbered we are with our daily activities, just to see a dog that will add a ray of sunshine into your life. And it sounds like that's what ZZ is doing all over the nation. Thank you for staying with us. We're very appreciative, Ms. Zines. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about a new concept that I haven't really heard a lot about, and that is ZZ has her own blog. Blog isn't a new concept for me, but the fact that a dog has her own blog, now that's interesting to me. How did ZZ get her blog started with your help, of course?
Well, first of all, the name of the blog is ZZTalks.com.
ZZTalks.com. I want everybody to tune in to ZZTalks.com.
And it's a work in progress. I started it probably a little over a year ago. I would go to these different doggy events, and I would just feel like I just wanted to say things about them, good things, bad things. But I wanted to say them like ZZ would say, how she reacts to different things, how she reacts to losing, how she reacts to how I react, kind of like in a Joan Rivers style.
One of the legends of the game. I totally get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, how I did it. Now, there are certain things I want to say, which are not always nice. And
you seem like such a nice person. I can't imagine that there's anything you want to say that's not nice.
Don't even go there.
Okay.
I want to say the truth. I want to say, you're a big fan of the truth.
Yes,
I mean, I think that there's certain things that, I mean, you go to a really nice event and there's peeing and pooping in inappropriate places. No, I don't think that's right. There's not enough wee-wee pads, things like that. And ZZ has to tell everybody and make it known to people. I mean, there's good thing too. We talk about the fashions, why she didn't win, what can she do better the next time. She comes up with different ideas. So it's kind of fun and people enjoy it. And people stop me, friends, and they go, you know, I read your blog. I think it's so funny. I said, okay. you know, so I'm having fun with it.
So the entire blog is written through ZZ's voice.
Yes. Yes.
That takes some real skill to not only think of interesting blog topics, be honest, be truthful, but then channel that voice you have into ZZ's voice and help her express how you think she would feel. I think that's pretty incredible. And it takes several steps in thinking to have the blog. How long has the blog been in existence?
14 months.
Okay. All right. It's new. This is really great.
New. It's new. It's not a monetary thing. It's not monetized. I just do it. I started also writing product reviews for different people. There's a lot of things that can be done, but I do have a full-time job. So I can only really write about the events that we attend.
That's a great point you made just now in terms of you are able to do all of this and you're able to enrich people's lives with ZZ as your constant companion, you're able to do all of that as well as have a full-time job. Is there any intersectionality, any connection between what you do as a full-time realtor and ZZ's socialite activities? Does she come with you when you're meeting potential clients?
No. Most of the buildings that we represent a very big New York City landlord, and most of the buildings that my office works on are not pet-friendly.
Oh, okay, okay.
So she's not allowed, but at times she has come in to close a deal. I feel when there's certain situations warranted, I will bring her to the office. And she's she does a good job. Everybody forgets that all the paperwork and just wants to sign and wants to play with her.
So you call her the closer. That's wonderful.
She is like, I never really thought of it that way, but she can be a closer for sure.
She's a closer, but she's also happens to be a canine good citizen. For people who are not aware of what a canine good citizen is and would like their dog to be a canine good citizen, what is it and how? What would you tell them in terms of ZZ's experience?
Well, she became a canine good citizen quite a few years ago, so the details are a little sketchy, but yes. She had to be well-trained in certain basic commands.
Okay.
And she had to show positive temperament, very similar to the certified pet therapy training that she had.
When was she certified as a pet therapy dog?
A couple of years ago,
oh,
a few years
incredible.
Ago. Yeah, we have to get it renewed, but my time is so limited that I can't really, you know, take her to the hospital. It's just a little difficult, but we do have to go for the renewal. That's on our list of things to do. The canine good citizen is registered with, I believe it's registered with the AKC.
Absolutely,
so, is. Yeah, so that's good. So that will help her in anything else that she has to do. You know, that's very, very good that she's gotten it. We had training. I forgot where we were when she had training. I'm a little sketchy on the details. It was a couple of years ago, Doc, so I really don't remember. Both things were. But the you know, she has to be fluent in basic commands, and she has to display good temperament. And it's really very good for your dog to have that, because it shows that your dog is socialized, can meet with other people. It's not a therapy dog, but it does. But now with laws changing, with flying, I think it's going to be, with emotional support animals, with flying, I think it's going to be more important than it was in the past.
Do you feel like she provides emotional support for you? Is she an emotional support dog for you? The reason I ask is because a lot of people listening right now are saying, I don't understand. What's the difference between a therapy dog and an emotional support dog? And it's important to emphasize that an emotional support dog is strictly for that parent. It's strictly for that handler, and they help to enrich that handler's life, while a therapy dog is intended to enrich the lives of other people and isn't necessarily intended to enrich the life of the parent, although they absolutely can. Do you feel like Zizi has a dual role there?
I think Zizi has many roles, and she is an emotional support animal for me, basically.
Great.
For travel, only for travel, for flying, really. I don't need her for my home. She's great, but I really think that sometimes I'm her emotional support. I know I say that in jest, but you know, she keeps me calm and she keeps everybody else calm. When I fly with Zizi on the plane, she keeps the whole row calm. Everybody wants to pass her around. I go, no, leave her alone. But she's really good. But I think that everybody should get as many accreditations as possible. Emotional support animal is different as opposed to a service dog. Service dog is really a medical alert dog or a serious medical, you know, you have a disability that has to be helped by the dog. Emotional support is usually general anxiety disorder or something like that, mostly around traveling. Some people are, well, you know, extremely upset in life in general. However,
yes.
I don't know how else to say it. I mean, but I think if your dog can be a canine good citizen, it's definitely something to pursue. I think if you can be a certified pet, a therapy dog, and you can attend and go to the hospitals and go work with children, I think you get so much back from it.
I'm so glad that you made a distinction between the two, because there, like I was saying, there are some people who aren't aware that there's a distinction between an emotional support animal and a pet therapy dog. And I think that the idea of an emotional support animal has been around for a very long time, but it's kind of been thrust into the zeitgeist and the pop culture recently, because there will be certain emotional support animals that are not allowed on planes. For instance, in Connecticut, a young lady was removed from the plane when her emotional support miniature pig broke free from its carrier and ran up and down the aisles screaming and had a few accidents on the plane. And then there was a young lady recently who had an emotional support hamster who wasn't allowed on the plane. So the fact that you brought up how Zizi can calm the entire row of passengers on an airplane is really powerful. And it's a really powerful message about the strength of the human-animal bond.
I also think that not every animal, I mean, everybody wants their pet to be an emotional support animal, and it shouldn't be misconstrued with a service dog, because it's not. It has very big limitations, and a lot of people really don't understand that. But at the end of the day, she's just for travel, flying. She's just my emotional support animal for flying. And I think that she knows her job. And I could tell you one quick story. I don't know how much time you have, but I could tell you one
very quick
story.
Certainly. You hit the nail right on the head. It's almost like you read my mind, because I was literally going to ask you, what's the most inspirational interaction you've ever had with Zizi? And it sounds like you're about to tell me one. Please, let me hear this story.
I just want to tell you about nothing. It's just funny to me. I was at the airport. I go to Vegas back and forth a couple of times. And I was flying home from Vegas with Zizi. She was wearing a vest that said emotional support animal. There was a man in a wheelchair, gloved, with a mask. We had family around him. They all had masks, gloves. And Zizi, of course, wanted to see what was going on, but I pulled her away. The guy's brother came over to me and said to me, what a cute dog you have. Next thing I know, the guy in the wheelchair was wheeled over to me, and he looked at me, and he saw her vest, and he said to me, "What's wrong with you that you need that dog?"
No way. That's what he said.
This is no joke. And I looked at him, and I said, "She's an emotional support animal." And I go, "Whatever, I have anxiety when I fly, blah, blah." And he said to me, "Wouldn't it just be easier to take a pill?"
Wow.
But anyway, wow. That's my funniest story with her and her, you know, emotional support animal. But I do want to add something to this conversation.
Please, absolutely.
We didn't touch on, which I just want to tell you that most of the runway work that Zizi does and all this is for charity. And there's no compensation involved. We walk the runway, you know, we try to help different charities that way. So I'm not going to rescue an animal and bring an animal in my house because I don't have the time and I don't have the space, but we try to help raise money that way and donate back. And sell a lot of her clothes to donate back, things like that. So it's not just to dress her up and to make her look pretty and to walk her around, et cetera, et cetera. We do have a method to our madness. And I just want your listeners to know that a lot of what we do is to help other pups.
That's absolutely beautiful. Well, how can people find Zizi and you through social media so they could potentially meet Zizi, talk to you, potentially contribute to your charity? How do we go about finding you and Zizi?
Well, of course, you can subscribe to my blog, ZiziTalks.com.
Okay.
And you can go on Instagram. And Zizi's name on Instagram is Zizi_Poo, P-O-O.
Okay, Zizi_Poo.
Yes. And she has a little page there, the followers. And basically, I think that's the best way. And then we'll definitely keep you informed of any charity events that we've been to, you know, that kind of thing. We have upcoming events coming up in Virginia and then some other places. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
That's okay. That's okay. And listen, with a schedule that busy, it's hard to keep track of all those dates. Everybody who's listening who wants to see beautiful pictures of Zizi and who wants to keep track of all of her amazing social activities and charity events and all of the good work she does as a canine therapy dog and a canine good citizen, then please tune in to Zizi's social media because I know that there will be some updates soon. Ms. Zines, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me in this podcast. It's been inspirational, to say the least, to hear about how much Zizi touches so many people's lives through a very sort of unorthodox and untraditional way than you hear about most therapy dogs. So thank you again for joining the podcast.
Thank you very much.
You've been fantastic. And we will definitely connect, hopefully, for a part two. For all of my podcast listeners, it's been an absolutely incredible experience to get a chance to speak with Ms. Zines, hear about what Zizi does for the community. If you are thinking about having your dog become a pet therapy dog or a canine good citizen, certainly do your research first. Not every dog's personality is going to be perfectly aligned for an experience like this. So thanks again for tuning in. And just remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.